I guess we all have been like through school, and teachers, they like to give advice, not only for the class, but kind of for the life. You know, some of those we remember, some of those we don't remember, some of those we remember and we don't follow them. You know, when we study theology, you know, in order to become ordained priest, there is one subject that is called homiletics, and we have to study how to give a homily, you know, sermon. They used to call sermon is, you know, it's homily. That's what I'm doing now. The homily, the preaching, and the teacher would start to say, if the gospel is long, the homily must be short. If the gospel is short, the homily must be short. I did pass the subject, but I'm not so obedient to that teacher, as you can see in many of our masses. You know, in the Gospels we find, of course, the Gospels, they teach us about Jesus. Jesus' life, that's the center of the Gospel. And that's the center of our faith, because even the Hebrew Scriptures, the First Testament, the Old Testament, what happened before Jesus, we interpret that, we read that according to what Jesus teaches. So the Jesus' message is the most important thing. And Jesus, in the Gospels, we find him that sometimes he is a teacher, he is preaching and teaching his disciples or the crowds. Sometimes he is storyteller. His parables that would everyone would be really, you know, pay attention to what he was saying, the parables and many stories that he would tell and entertain people. Of course, not for the sake of entertaining, but for the sake of preaching about the kingdom. And today in the gospel we face Jesus, the healer, the one who would understand what people really need, and he would always deliver that healing. Two miracles we saw today. The daughter of the synagogue's official, Jairus, and a woman whom we do not know her name, but we know that she wanted to be cured of her hemorrhage. She was ill for 12 years. It's interesting. She was ill for 12 years. The girl was 12 years old. You know. Now, I want to say just two words concerning the touching that seems to be kind of, at least in the woman, very prominent, because she touched Jesus' clothes. You know? And then the girl, they said she was dead, Jesus touched her as well. It is not so easy for us, perhaps, to understand what that means. But in Jesus' time, the society, the world he lived in, the Jewish world, that was kind of, there was, you know, of course, in the Palestine of his time, Judea and Galilee of his time, many families were Jews, but they're not all Jews. There were Romans there. There were the Samaritans. There were other people, the Greeks, who were not Jews. The Jews understand and divided the world for them in what was pure and impure. What was pure was meant to be that a person could offer praise to God, could say the offerings, could say the Friday night and the Saturday prayers. If the person was not pure, she could not or he could not join in those prayers, either in the family, either in the synagogue of the village, either in the temple in Jerusalem. Now, what made one person impure, whether the person was Jew or not? I mean, if you're not Jew, you were basically not pure. That's the line. But a Jew, the sickness that the woman had, hemorrhage, that would be something she would be impure. She could not join the family for prayers. The Jews, they would gather the Friday evening, the prayer, the family, that's the Shabbat. She could not join them for prayers because of that sickness. She could not join the synagogue in the village for prayers because of that sickness. So it was not only the sickness of the physical sickness, it's also the kind of say, oh, you are kind of, you know, put outside. The same thing, the lepers. The lepers, of course, they had to leave outside. Once somebody was, you know, had some skin disease, not necessarily leprosy, they were banned from the family, from the village. They could not return unless they were clean. And where it was, would show themselves as clean, then they would have the ritual and then come back. You know. Another thing that would make a person impure was to touch a body or a corpse, a dead person. To touch that would make a person impure. You might remember one of the parables, beautiful, that Jesus said, the Good Samaritan, when a man was robbers, beat him and left him half dead or kind of dead on the side of the road. And there passed a Levite, there passed a priest, and they did nothing. They didn't know if the guy was dead or was alive. If the guy was dead and they touched the guy, they could not offer any prayer because they would become impure and they would have to have all the ritual. That's what happened to Jesus today. The woman who was afraid, but she knew and she had faith, came and touched Jesus. That would be enough to say, oh, Jesus, you are impure now. What Jesus does, he looks around, who touched me? Even the disciple says, Lord, you know, there's a crowd here. Can't you see that everybody's pressing against each other? And the woman knew what he was talking about. But Jesus did not reprimand her. He did not even question, why did you do this? What are you doing? Don't you know the law? Jesus just say, daughter, who knows how long that woman, besides the 12 years of illness, how long she didn't feel such a warm greeting, daughter. That made a connection. And Jesus says, your faith has saved you. It's kind of say, good for you. You have faith. Now you can go. Not only say, you can go, you are healed. You can go and join your family. You can go and join the society. You can join the prayers. You can join the life. You're going to have a life now. And then he goes, he continues. Because that miracle is in between the story of the, you know, the girl. They come and it's like kind of Jesus forgot about the girl and say, oh, now the girl is dead. Oh, Jesus, why do you stop talking to somebody along the way? You should have gone. You know, you get there at that time. But Jesus gets to the house. And again, if the girl, she was dead when he got there, and he touched her and he called her to life. It is showing that the law and the love of God is beyond everything. And that is meant to bring life. Now for us today, when we see this, of course, we look at the past and we see Jesus was all powerful. That's one thing that, and one way that we look at that, and he indeed was all powerful. He could heal the woman. He could bring the girl back to life. It was not the only time. There was the son of a widow of Nain. He also, there was Lazarus when he got there in Bethany, also the brother of Martha and Mary, he brought him back to life. So he had all that power. He was all powerful. But what about for us today? I guess it shows us that also for us today, that is a fountain of healing that we can find in the Lord. A fountain of healing as that woman who was suffering. How many today could be suffering, being kind of cast out, being left aside or cast aside for so many reasons? And here, perhaps we can be a part of that, an instrument, and bring them in. You know, that's a way of saying when we start the celebration, we all saying, all are welcome. And indeed, we are. From the words must follow the actions of saying, all are welcome. And then the girl, the 12-year-old girl, makes us think of so many death that there is in the world today. If we look at their young people, you know, addictions to drugs, so many, you know, chemical dependency, so many ways, and with the internet, so many good things came into our homes, but so many vices as well. Many people suffering today from addiction, even to pornography. So many things that are killing us little by little. And here we have Jesus presented as the healer, the one who will bring life. So I think the message today is a message of joy. It is a message of hope. It is a message of knowing that the Lord is kind of passing by. His grace is closer than we think. Let us not lose the opportunity, as the woman had the courage, the strength, even though if she would ask, nobody would allow her to be close to Jesus. Yet she was there. People told Jesus, don't bother going to the home of the official. The girl is dead. Why bother? He disregarded that message. And he went there. Because our God is the God of life. So let us trust once again in that God. And let us be instruments that every time, that's why we believe we are, you know, there's so much in the church, the respect life, and St. John Paul II would say the culture of life and the culture of death, and how we are ambassadors, must be instruments for the culture of life in the world today, because our God is our God who brings life. And if we feel that somehow there are some issues in our lives, some situations that are bringing us and dragging us away from the Lord and close to that death that is little by little consuming us, let us not be afraid and know that the Lord is there with a healing touch that can change everything in our lives. What is needed, you ask from us. Have faith. Do not be afraid.